Thank you so much, Amia. Thanks, everyone, for coming to our session today. So to elaborate on the principles and attempt to answer some of the questions that were just discussed by Amia and Malcolm, we undertook a literature review and analysis of organizational capacity assessment tools to gain a picture of what types of assessment processes organizations and donors are currently using to assess capacity. We wanted to answer the questions, how does an organization know where to focus capacity building efforts in order to realize improvements in organizational capacity? And how do we select a tool to assess these gaps? This is really of critical importance at this time, as we've seen a building trend in international aid towards funding capacity building efforts. And while it's impossible to determine the exact dollar figure amount because of the voluntary nature of reporting of this type of assistance, through the OECD Development Assistance Committee data, we know that the annual expenditures in capacity building are in the US billions of dollars. So this study undertook a review of publicly available organizational capacity assessment tools to determine the types of strategies currently employed to assess organizational capacity and guide capacity building efforts. We were interested in examining the commonalities between tools to determine if there is a consensus on how organizations should be assessed and what factors comprise a strong organization. We also wanted to compare the design and scope of assessment tools and assess whether the tools available to organizations or donors conducting a baseline or reassessment of an organization would actually provide a reliable result. The tools included in the assessment were available online as of August 2012 and free of charge. Initially, we had identified over 40 tools, but some were excluded due to cost. To gain an accurate picture of what assessment tools organizations might access, we had to include only 100% free tools because access to funding or simply access to something as a credit card could be a barrier. So some assessment tools included a process where the organization developed the questions or the methodology to be used for this assessment themselves, and these were excluded as well because they could not produce comparable results across organizations. The 24 tools in our final sample included qualitative and quantitative methods, and they were administered on paper, via Microsoft Excel, and through online systems. Some of them were internal-only processes, and some of them were externally facilitated. When we were conducting this review, we wanted to know if the tool would be adaptable to different organizations. What would be the generalizability potential? Were they working in different regions, or were they overly specialized, or would they be applicable in a variety of settings? We also wanted to know the level of staff and stakeholder involvement in the process. Does the assessment result provide a true picture of the organization's strengths and weaknesses by including many stakeholders, or was the assessment completed by one person alone in an office without further input? What organization domains were considered? Some might include leadership, finance, IT. Earlier, you heard Amia discuss the 11 domains included in the MODE tool, so you have some idea of the type of domains that may be included in an instrument. How replicable was the process? Tools frequently included subjective questions like, how do you feel about the organization's management? Well, this question might be very helpful to generate discussion or to be used as a prompt. Answers to a subjective question like this are highly unlikely to be replicable. Similarly, compound questions may not produce replicable or clear answers. An organization here may have an in-date strategic plan, but an out-of-date annual plan. How would they answer this question? We also looked at whether the process was finite or provided additional guidance towards change, such as next steps recommendations, or whether change is tracked over time through an assessment, a reassessment process. We looked very closely at this generalizability question. There was a huge variety of location of tool use. Would a tool that was designed to assess nonprofits in Michigan be adaptable in Sierra Leone? Would a tool designed to assess organizations working on environmental programs work in a public health context? We're not really sure. In terms of the stakeholder involvement, there was a huge range. It ranged from one person completing an assessment, which would provide the least accurate picture of what was truly happening in the organization, to involving a wide range of stakeholders, including staff, volunteers, funders, service recipients, etc. Some of them were facilitated externally and some were 100% internal process. some tools here used a mix of objective and subjective lines of questions. Again, the subjective questions could be useful for discussion, but not useful for generating comparative data. Tools which had objective questions only were more likely to not use compound questions and to have a verification process, which of course would be more rigorous. As you can see, only four tools in our sample would be considered the most rigorous, including only objective questions, not including compound questions, and having verification measures. When we were looking at what types of organizational areas or domains these variety of tools were looking at, as you can see here, there was lack of consensus. There was a huge variety of the areas of an organization to measure. The average tool had 11 domains, 9 domains and 11 of the subdomains. Of the tools make recommendations for next steps based upon the results of the assessment. The tools are designed to provide various levels of support in assisting organizations to plan next steps to build capacity. The most basic tools leave the responsibility of the analysis to the organization alone. So we combined all of this data here into this graph. We plotted the tools onto a graph to look at the comparison of rigor and practicality. On the x-axis, we plotted the practicality score from the least burdensome to an organization to the most burdensome. The score included the number of people involved, the estimated length of time of an assessment from a few hours to several days, and whether or not the process included next steps in a reassessment process. On the y-axis, we plotted the rigor of the assessment tools. Instruments were given a higher ranking if they included objective questions, did not include compound indicators, had verification mechanisms, and also the number of domains. If a tool had only 2 to 3 organizational domains that they were looking at, that would be much too broad, whereas a tool with 20 or 30 or more organizational domains may be so fractured that would be unlikely to provide an accurate picture. So I apologize in advance for the graph that I am about to show. There's many, many data points here, but I'm bringing this to you to really illustrate some of the trends that we saw. So here in the lower left quadrant, we found tools which were practical, easy to use, not very burdensome, but also not very rigorous. Many of these tools were completed by one or a small handful of individuals, so while taking a short time, not causing undue burden to an organization, eating up staff time and the costs associated with that time, the results are also not particularly rigorous. It may be very difficult to replicate or to compare. Here in the lower white quadrant, we have tools which are both highly burdensome and lack rigor. These tools are very costly to an organization by taking up considerable staff time, and without providing a result which may be of significant value if we're not sure of the measures that were even used in these tools. Here in the upper right quadrant, we have tools which are rigorous but also burdensome. And here in the upper left quadrant, we have tools which offer rigor and lack burden for the most part. So the green box that you'll see there in the upper left corner is where the ideal tool would lie. While the ideal tool does not exist at this time, it would be also very impractical or very difficult to implement or design, because we want to consider a variety of stakeholders in the tool. We want to have input from many people, and that just the reality of that is it just takes time. We also want to include a reassessment process, ideally, prepare next steps. So we see a clear trend line here between the rigor and burden, which you can see as tools become more rigorous, they do take more time and have some more burden here. When choosing an instrument, we would recommend selecting rigor over the burden score to ensure that you have a tool with a valid result. We plotted the MODE tool against the others in the sample, and it lies here. So now I'm going to turn this over to Elizabeth, who's going to share with you some of the preliminary results of the MODE tool implementation.